Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes, Rob here, Jeff here. It's a miracle that we're both here right on time as we originally intended for Shake Them Ropes, heading into mid-August of 2026.
Six,
if you can believe
yes.
That. Yeah, I know I had to think of the year, but we're moving right along. We're heading right towards the road to All In and All Out and All WrestleMania and all these different shows that are going on, and not a single company knows what the heck storyline they want to focus on.
Thank you. Okay, good. That SummerSlam was so hit and miss, and then AEW just decides to... Your point was so valid, I'm not going to steal it from you. So,
I have
so
things.
Please.
I have things. So I'm watching the old Dynamite, and a fun show and a lively crowd. I mean, when they have these special shows, they're pretty awesome. And honestly, it's the best thing AEW does is when they have these special shows, whether it's a special venue, a cool location, maybe some of those niche kind of venues, the smaller ones, the more intimate venues, the cool cities. I half expect AEW to gosh darn run Panama City Beach. I know that restaurant that WCW used to do, the Spring Break Nitros. I don't think that exists anymore.
No,
but there's going
not.
To be a spring breakout on an actual beach one of these days. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, we had Grand Slam Mexico on Wednesday night. And as fun as the show was, as all this stuff is going on, when is All Out? When is All In, I should say, Jeff Hawkins? Because
All In is the end of this month, the last...
It's 20 days away. Mm-hmm. It's 22 days away from this Dynamite. It is 3 weeks away. I mean, it's coming up relatively quickly. You got your big main events. When is this? All In 2026. It's the end of this month. It is August 30th. So it's a little bit further away. It's 23 days away from now. Is what I think I meant to say. All In Wembley, big show, your big main event, Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay. Jeff Hawkins, this is for the illegitimate fake heavyweight championship, apparently. You have MJF, the former champion, coming out on this show with his Triple B, the big Burberry belt, Burberry, whatever it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You have him coming out with this Triple B, claiming he's the real world champion when we literally just saw him lose to Kenny Omega. And that's not even the thing. Well, Rob, a heel is going to come out and claim they're the real world champ, and they're going to come out and claim all this bullshit. Yeah, not before the biggest fucking show you have of the year, where you have this big title match in London with Will Ospreay challenging. Not before all that. You're not trying to create illegitimacy, even if it's a goddamn heel on TV. Coming out here and saying, this is the real world champ. I'm the real world champ. I'm the people's champ, before your goddamn big main event happening at All In.
Not only that, all of his complaints were legitimate.
The fuck is he even doing on the show? I get that he's going to have a match at All In. Focus on the match he's going to have at All In, because you know what? It's not a triple threat.
Right. It's for a title shot. But I mean, the moment Will wins the title, that's the moment to say he's an illegitimate champion. Yes, you haven't had a real hot main event program for the title that didn't include MJF for the longest time. I mean, look, Hangman crapped the bed twice. Moxley was a good world champ, but he was stuck with like doing either Rey Fénix title defenses or maybe I'm misremembering that, but he was in the middle of the Punk Hangman stuff, which never really gave him a chance to be, you know,
no.
Punk
leaving kind of hurt Punk, John Moxley's Punk, whole title picture.
Yeah, Punk left, but Punk could draw. But Moxley then decided he was going to do that. I'm hiding the belt for a year so that nobody
hiding the belt,
can have
the briefcase.
It. Yeah.
But this is your big angle.
Everybody wants this match so bad, and it's like, yes, let's build this internal heat, and here comes MJF to be far more interesting than either of these other guys in this thing
And when did, maybe it was just the tan, maybe it's because cameras always look, the picture always looks a little funny when it's not in the United States. It's so fun because I don't know what it is about going through the satellites that just make the picture look sometimes even better, but just weird. But MJF looked like $1 million this night. The fake tan was on fake tan perfection. It wasn't his usual bullshit orange runoff fake tan. Like, he was looking great. He was coming out with a big belt. And you got Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay in the main event of your next pay-per-view. You're not even focusing on that, but you're also not focusing on whatever the heck MJF is actually going to do on this show. Because he's like, whatever I'm going to do is secondary to my actual world title and the fact that I should be in the main event mix with Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. And not to mention, yeah, you had Hangman lose his match. You had Swerve. Remember, it was only, 2 months ago that you had Hangman, Swerve, and Omega in the ring talking about how they're all going for the championship. And then Swerve's not around and Hangman can't go for it anymore. And I know they had matches in between with these storylines. It's like... Nowhere. I mean, MJF was the champ at the time. Darby Allin, thankfully, is out of the mix. It's just you have a whole bunch of stuff all scrambled up. And I'm not trying to say that, oh, I know how to run a big pay-per-view and get people the importance of this pay-per-view, because I've never run a pay-per-view. I get that. But I just don't see any benefit to creating an air of illegitimacy to the big title match that people have been longing for, which in theory is to legitimize the AEW title finally after a year of a little unrest. You know, Samoa Joe, Darby Allin, MJF, Hangman Page, a little bit of unrest for the AEW world title over the last year. And we're finally getting back on track with major names in the top of the program. Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, maybe even Jon Moxley getting back in there. MJF. MJF is a big name. He should be in the title program, but not this month.
Dare I say this should be the biggest match in the history of your company?
It should be the second. The biggest match is probably the main event of your first pay-per-view, and that's always going to be it. But this should be the biggest match since then.
Mm-hmm. Because of the critical acclaim of both the participants involved. And you should be doing absolutely nothing to draw focus from it.
Because the last time they were in London, correct me if I'm wrong, the main event was MJF versus Adam Cole. The second time they wrestled that night.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega for the AEW World title, all in London, happening at Wembley Stadium. Mm-hmm. This is a huge match. This is a big deal. What the heck are you doing with MJF coming in and saying neither one's the world champ?
Yes, Oh, and by the way, Will Ospreay cheated me out of the world title, and he's actually a villain in this whole thing, and he's not.
Will Ospreay's a villain, which you're already scrambled up enough because Will Ospreay's been in the villain. He's been in the villain stable for the last month and a half. Kenny Omega's healing on Will Ospreay.
Yeah, so
not one damn likable element in this. Like, put Chris Jericho in this main event, you might have a little likability.
Oh God, no.
It's just baffling to me like that. And that's the thing that stands out from this week of AEW. You got Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes Moné. I mean, that's going to be a big match. Mercedes getting it. You know, does Mercedes win the title by now? Does Willow cement her reign? Because I think you kind of have to cement the reign of Willow. We're still 2-3 weeks away from doing a prediction show on this one. Obviously, I mean, the card is looking pretty good so far. I mean, you're doing Edge and Christian against the Young Bucks. I mean, that's a big match. I thought they might do that in Montreal, but they really gave nothing for Adam Copeland and Christian Cage in Montreal. Here, they're finally doing this one. There's some big matches that are going to be on this show, but you just made your main event kind of a little less important. It's just a storyline on TV. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do this right now. On September 1st,
yes,
whenever the first Dynamite is, whenever that first Dynamite is, you could have MJF come out, maybe after a win on the pay-per-view. Maybe he wins a match on the pay-per-view, and he comes out, and it's like, this is all the bullshit that happened to me. You might be the AEW World Champion, but I have this Triple B that I'm ready to make back the AEW World title because I just beat so-and-so, and you fucked me out of my title. I'm coming back for the actual title. And boom, you have another big match.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't... He doesn't have to be on All In either. And I love MJF, and I think he should be on All In. But if you did the story, if you did the story where he turned tail and ran after he lost the world title, and he's just going to be off and away for a while, and then he's going to come back and say he was screwed, he probably should not be on TV.
Is MJF going to be in this Casino Gauntlet match, you think?
Yes, he's going to win the match on Wednesday. He's going to be number two.
Yeah, so he's going to be in this Casino Gauntlet, him and Andrade and a bunch of scrubs. Most of the Don Callis family will be in that
match.
And
if they can get Swerve back, maybe him.
Yeah, maybe a Swerve. And honestly, I would like to see, if you start off with Andrade and MJF and then a Swerve comes in and actually wins it, that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, because neither of the first two need it, because I think they're building Andrade for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Because he's been doing the whole shtick
involves MJF.
And then you don't need MJF to win because he's the real world champion.
He's the real world champ. But you don't need him to win either because he hasn't. I mean, he was the last world champion of these. I mean, it makes sense that he would get some type of match out of this. But come in and challenge the winner. Challenge the winner when the match is over. But I still think he should be on the pay per view. I think a pay per view like this, you kind of have to have all your guns on the show.
Yeah.
Like, really, you kind of have to have all of them on the show. They may not be doing the most important match because not everyone can be in the main event. Not everyone can be in a singles title match, although AEW has plenty of singles titles to actually put everyone in a singles title match. But you shouldn't. You don't have to have everyone in that. But yeah, right now there's 6 matches. We still expect another 10 to be added to the show to bring us a total of 25. That's math, everybody. That's Steiner math. Speaking of Steiner math, man, what's with these Steiners? So these Steiners getting suspended, huh? First there's Bron Breakker, and now one of the Rex Steiner kids is getting suspended from the New Orleans Saints. I was actually stunned when the Steiner kid was listed as a wide receiver. I actually didn't know he was a wide receiver. I just assume all of them are linebackers.
No, actually, Bron was a fullback, I believe.
The hell he was! They're all linebackers to me.
They are all built like linebackers. I can't comment until I know what the suspension was for. I mean, we can all think we know it's for.
That's also a little weird too, right? Is that we don't. Okay, so Brock Rex Steiner, New Orleans Saints. He's an undrafted rookie wide receiver.
He ain't making the team.
I mean, also, how do you get suspended for 6 days or 6 games as an undrafted rookie? And still 2 days later, you're on the roster. How does that happen? Because that seems like a guy, well, we can just cut him right now.
Yes. I don't understand. If he makes the roster, he'll be suspended for the first. He ain't making this roster. He might get protected on the scout team.
An undrafted wide receiver who's suspended for 6 games is going to stay on your roster? What are you even doing? Like, now, at this point, I think it's just bodies to have for the first couple of preseason games, right? The first couple of preseason games, because he can do all the preseason games. Brock Rex Steiner, who is the son of Scott Steiner. Everyone comes from Scott. I don't care that Bron is Rick's kid. He's still Scott Steiner's kid.
Well, the thing about the body, I mean, for the undrafted stuff, you look at guys and go, okay, if we put some time in for a year or two on the scout team, can they develop into an NFL player? For the most part, it's no. Because the guys that they bring in are great college players who don't have the stats in terms of height and weight or the skills to play in the NFL necessarily. They're just very good college players, but occasionally you'll find one. I just don't understand this. It's one of these, and they're not even announcing why. That's the thing that's killing me here. It's like, was it gambling? Was it drugs? Did he have a domestic abuse issue? What was it? You know, because
too many Steiner lines in the cafeteria.
Yes.
Too many Steiner screwdrivers on the old football field. Remember that Steiner screwdriver?
From a wide receiver. If a wide receiver ever did that, you should be humiliated as a defensive player.
6'2", 225 from Woodstock, Georgia. I can see that coming down the aisle for a main event of a Backlash someday.
Yeah, you know where I can't see that? As a wide receiver in the NFL.
I feel like 225 sounds like a lot for a wide receiver. And also,
6'2 is short for a wide receiver. But
not for these slot guys.
Okay, I mean, for a slot guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just a slot guy, you know?
Okay.
He's just a Steiner slot guy. But also, this one, this kid, you know, as opposed to Scott's other kid, Bron, I feel like Brock over here. A little bit more apt to kind of follow the Scott Steiner, not only the Steiner name, but the Scott Steiner pathway a little bit. I think he's embracing it a little bit. I could see this guy maybe being a pro grappler someday.
Tron Breaker.
I tell you what, I hope they portray brothers on TV too somehow. I hope they do. And I hope Bron hates it like everything else in his life right now.
Like, we have to watch Solo Sikoa with a completely different name than the Usos, and they go, he's our little brother. It's like, really? Then how come his mom gave him a completely different last name?
He just wanted to be by himself. That's all. Wrestling Observer is reporting, you know, we had quite the newsworthy SummerSlam. We're not going to go over SummerSlam because by now it's a week old. I mean, we've already moved on to AEW All In. We've already moved on to the next WWE show, which, of course, we all know is Money in the Bank. I think. I hope. Yes. I hope
the big one,
it.
Yes. Yeah.
That show, it's still happening in New Orleans. And that's the make good for them not getting a WrestleMania. There's a lot of not getting WrestleMania make goods that WWE is going to owe because WWE is giving Indianapolis a SummerSlam in 2029. As a part of their deal, they're supposed to also get a WrestleMania, but the time is running out to get a WrestleMania if they're going to do SummerSlam there in 2029, because I think it's a 5-year deal. It was supposed to bring the Rumble, SummerSlam, and WrestleMania all within 5 years, and that's not going to happen. I mean, WrestleMania is not coming to Indianapolis before 2031 at the earliest. So
no, and Rumble just got announced for Arizona again.
Rumble's going to be heading to Glendale, Arizona. They said State Farm Stadium, and I had to take a double take. I didn't realize it wasn't University of Phoenix Stadium anymore. I didn't realize it was any of these other stadium names. These stadium names just keep changing.
It's preferable to the baseball park that they had in last time, let's put it that way, where they didn't have any food by the time the pre-show ended.
I did go to that WrestleMania that was there in Glendale, Arizona, that had Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels retirement match. It had Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon.
Can I bring up one thing about SummerSlam? If you don't mind.
Go ahead. What is your most note? Because there's a lot of news and notes. We're going to talk about them. But what was the note you wanted to bring up about SummerSlam, or as we affectionately call it, the Summerfest?
They did Nick Aldis right. I mean, they gave him the Oasis song. They paid for that.
That's actually the news item I wanted to bring up, because there's breaking news, although it's not really that breaking of news. Okay. Figure Four Online is reporting that there are no plans for a Nick Aldis match at this point.
Or should they? That was perfect. Don't do it again, even though he was great. It's one of those things where it's like, although the way they fixed it or retconned it, it's like, your general manager again.
Yeah, I mean, you handled your business like a man. I'm not going to punish you for this. You lost. You know, that's what happens. But yeah, when's the next time that a superstar is really heated? Because honestly, Sami Zayn's in that exact storyline with Nick Aldis right now. Right, where the GM keeps fucking him. What is Sami Zayn going to challenge him to a match? And now Nick Aldis either has to accept or said, no, it was a one and done. You're not important enough for me to come out of retirement again. I think Nick Aldis will wrestle again. It will happen, but he's not going to be a regular. They're not putting, you know, one of the youngest guys on the roster as a regular wrestler.
I know how they do it. They say it's an unsanctioned street fight, and so it becomes a walk-in brawl.
Maybe a special show someday. It will be hard to do at this point, toe the line with Nick Aldis, because you have him wrestle a match every year, and that's just a special thing, and people are supposed to think it's a special thing. Can he just keep abdicating his role as general manager for a weekend to wrestle a match. At some point, he's not going to be the general manager. Like, I don't see Nick Aldis being the general manager for the next 5 years on TV.
They give him a badge.
An 8-year run as an on-screen GM character?
They give him a general manager badge, and every time he takes it off, well, now I'm not the general manager.
Shit's real.
Now I can fight you. Yeah.
Shit's real now. But no, they gave him the Oasis music. They gave him a hell of, they gave him time. The Gunther match, I mean, you put him in there with Gunther. We talked about this. If you're rusty, go in there with Gunther. You're going to be just fine. He talked about in interviews afterwards that he blew up within 2 minutes.
We have to talk. Kevin Owens came back. That was nice. Well,
yes, that's all part of this Nick Aldis, but I'm still on Nick Aldis.
Okay.
They said Nick Aldis 2 minutes into his match blew up, which I can kind of see. I mean,
yes,
there's nothing
well,
like
they gave him like 2 weeks or 3 weeks to get in shape because they told him at Saudi Arabia, we're doing a match with you at WrestleMania.
To get into ring shape, because obviously the guy's been working at the gym, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's kind of got that Randy Orton thing going where he comes up as a really skinny, muscular guy, not even skinny, but like really muscular, but lean. And then he's got that body where, okay, there's some wear under those yes. muscles, right? They're pushed out a little bit more. That's fine. But it looked great. I think the crowd reacted super well to this one.
Oh, yeah.
The match was really good. Nick Aldis loses. He's the new general manager at the end of the night, which leads us to night two, the opening match, Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor. You were right. That opened the show, but effectively it didn't. It wasn't the match that opened the show because we got a four-way with Gunther added and then the returning Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is back. I believe once on this show this very year that you said he wasn't going to come back this calendar year, and I called you a fool.
You it might have been.
Okay, maybe I'm misremembering and the roles were reversed there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is back after a year and a half. Kevin Owens is back, and all of a sudden, just right back in that title picture with he's got angst against Sami Zayn, or Sami Zayn has angst against him right now because Sami Zayn feels that Kevin Owens took his spot. We're going to find out on SmackDown this week because we haven't really had a show yet since SummerSlam for the SmackDown guys. So we're going to find out Sami Zayn's thoughts on Kevin Owens coming in and stealing his title shot. We're going to find out Kevin Owens' thoughts on being the number one contender. We're going to find out if that number one contendership match goes on right away, maybe at Money in the Bank. And Kevin Owens has returned. Your thoughts on the big news of the weekend, Kevin Owens back in WWE.
Number one, it's great. And if he wants to go out like this, that's fine. As he said, hey, if my neck gives out, you know, and it's 1 to 2 years, I'm going to go hard and do it and then do that. But SmackDown is now sneaky loaded with talent, with Punk,
yeah.
Cody, Orton.
Orton's back, yep. Yeah.
Orton came
Kevin
back.
Owens. Sami Zayn kind of still
Sammy.
Being.
Drew is still in that mix over there too, I believe.
Yep, Drew should be in the mix. Gunther still, he just
yes.
beat Nick Aldis, just beat the GM. He was just in the world title picture. Not all these guys are going to be able to be in the world title picture, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens next with Gunther. You got to figure that, you know, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton is a program. Probably Kevin Owens and CM Punk, unless they want to do the detour on just a SmackDown with Sami Zayn. You know, what is Damian Priest doing? What is Trick Williams going to do now that Baron Corbin is your new United States champion?
Yeah.
What if this Jeff Hawkins is the conduit to getting Baronhausen? Maybe a little Danhausen got a nice taste of winning his match on SummerSlam. Maybe he's a number one contender for that US title. And there has to be some cursing going on to get that title picture. And maybe along with it goes a little Baron Corbin.
Yeah. And Obafemi is coming on to SmackDown this week. And he and Danhausen just did something at the house show yesterday. So that was kind of fun.
Well, okay. If you better not fucking put Obafemi with Danhausen.
No, you should not. You should absolutely not mix your comedy with your main event.
Not on
ever.
TV. The house shows, the live events.
House shows
fine
are fine.
If you want to do some fun.
Yes. Yes. My fear is it got over so well that they'll do it on TV and I'll just
you cannot
kill.
Do anything.
No,
like this is Goldust Goldberg all over again.
Yes, it is. You're correct.
You cannot do anything with Obafemi and Danhausen. They must be kept separate. They cannot be involved in the same antics. Obafemi.
Why is he going to SmackDown tomorrow? That's what's or tonight.
Well, okay. So Obafemi beat Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
They've been trying to say they've been saying that Obafemi gave up his title shot, right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
But he only gave it up on that show. Like, he didn't choose to cash in effectively the title shot at SummerSlam. Doesn't mean he's not getting a title shot. Mm-hmm. And you could easily insert an Obafemi into Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Kevin Owens. You can have a little bit. I mean, this is what Triple H likes to do, right? Is like to have three or four guys involved basically in the same storyline. Now, the difference is when it leads to your biggest pay-per-view of the year, the guys all branch off. It's not like Obafemi's trying to come up before WrestleMania and say, well, gosh darn, Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, I'm the real guy who should be in this match. I'm the real world champion. Go have your little main event. I'll see you afterwards. No, there's a difference here, Mr. Khan. There's a difference. Obafemi's waiting until after SummerSlam. He literally gave up his shot so you could focus on your main event with CM Punk, with Roman Reigns. On both shows, your real main events. You could focus on that, but I digress. But yeah, I think he's probably going to come say something to CM Punk on SmackDown.
Okay, yeah. He should kill Punk. That'd be interesting if they ran Kevin Owens, Cody, Randy, all through Obafemi. And that would be the way to get to Roman then, eventually.
But you could also, okay, Kevin Owens is the number one contender. Great. Maybe he wants to finish it with Sami Zayn first.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes go off on their way, and you have Obafemi CM Punk. I feel like Obafemi probably has to win.
What did you think of the CM Punk Cody match? Did you see it?
Yeah. Oh, of course. I actually did, because I am, as of now, and as of last Saturday morning, a ESPN Unlimited subscriber through YouTube TV, baby. So I got to watch that show. I watched both nights. I think I watched night two on a little bit of a delay, but I actually watched night one live as it was happening. I've seen mixed reviews of CM Punk.
I did too. And Cody Rhodes. I thought it was fine. And then, you know, the figure four just trashed it. I was like, it wasn't that bad. I didn't think.
I've been seeing some others, but yeah, no, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes was perfectly fine. I mean, could you say, I don't even know how long it went. Could you say it went a little long? Maybe. Especially when it's not your main event, right? Mm-hmm. Because you had your main event cage match, which was a weird one. I mean, we can talk about that if you want to, too. Going in Hell in the Cell and not using the cell at all. But this is the WWE we live in right now. They are not going to actively, on ESPN Air, you know, cause blood, cause damage. You're not getting any of those. You're not getting thumbtack spots probably anymore in WWE. You're not doing this danger bullshit. They are partners with damn Snickers and ESPN and Disney and all of this stuff. You're not getting the chaos. Well, he could have at least thrown him into the cage every once in a while. Yeah, maybe. But you're not going to risk having the blood coming from the cage match.
Well, but, it's the anti-AEW. At least they stayed in the constraints of, okay, it's Hell in a Cell, and they stayed inside the cell, as opposed to, say, you get, like, in AEW, a double dog collar chain match or whatever, and we're bringing out chairs and tables and thumbtacks and glass and every other prop, instead of just using the stipulation that they have. So, finding a happy medium would be nice, but, like, the Hell in the Cell did nothing for me, because it was just like, okay, Brock doesn't want to do much of a match, and he forgot his knee pads, which looked like it sucked to do the tombstone on wood planks. But other than that, it was cool.
Guy's 49 years old.
Mm-hmm.
His last match. I mean, he's doing big bumps. I mean, that's a big body bumping around. Mm-hmm. I don't blame Brock. Like, saying Brock Lesnar didn't want to have much of a match, I feel like is
it's an understatement always.
No, I mean, it was a 12-minute. It's not like he's resting for half the match, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
He's going hard and he's going hard and he's being tossed around by Obafemi. He's not being used to being tossed around, but 12-minute main event following the 30-minute CM Punk Cody Rhodes match. So you could say that match went a little long, especially when CM Punk Cody Rhodes, let's not forget. And CM Punk is now 15 years older than when he was these are probably two of the worst actual workers, the worst actual wrestling, like in-ring wrestling guys in the main event scene in WWE in some time. Cody Rhodes with these damn Cody cutters that never come off well. CM Punk, who's never been an in-ring technician, even though he came from Ring of Honor. He was great in the ring. Watch CM Punk's best matches They were not in the ring.
Yeah.
There's 45 minutes being thrown around on the outside by Samoa Joe.
Yeah, he's not an athletic guy per se, which is why I liked the charm of the botched moonsault for some
reason.
They're
both kind of not athletic guys.
Yeah.
Now, they're still really, really good. I'm just saying, yes. In your main event scene, when Roman Reigns has surpassed them as in-ring technical wrestlers and being able to be in the ring. Roman Reigns can go have a 30-minute match, never leaving the ring, and it would be great. Some guys have to leave the ring. The Rock, in a lot of ways, had to leave the ring. And he did so in a lot of his main event matches, if you go back and watch. Steve Austin had to leave the ring. Steve Austin was a brawler. He'll tell you himself, after the neck injury, he was not a wrestler anymore. He was a brawler. And sometimes that works for you. Cody Rhodes, not a brawler. CM Punk, not a brawler. But these guys went there 30 minutes. You can, if you want to have some type of criticism, the length of the match, okay. But otherwise, it's like, I'm glad a match went more than 13 minutes. Sometimes I want to see something that actually has a little drama built up over some time.
Yes.
And when your longest match of the show that night outside of the CM Punk match was 13 minutes long, Liv and Io, it's like, I want to see something that might be a 20-25, not because I just want to see it for that long. It's because sometimes it takes a little bit to build up that drama. Not everyone is Brock Lesnar, who could build up drama in 30 seconds. Brock Lesnar, one of the best in-ring main event guys that the WWE has ever had.
Hoss matches should not be 20 minutes.
And those don't have to be 20 minutes, right? I don't want to see Big Show and Brock Lesnar go out there for 20 minutes.
Right.
I didn't want to see that. And sometimes we got that. Mm-hmm. But Brock Lesnar, Obafemi, I thought the first night was pretty good. You were more excited about the second night, if I'm mistaken. Second night was okay, but I mean, it started off as hot as any show can start with the reveal of Gunther and Kevin Owens. Dominic Mysterio, Danhausen, thankfully was pretty short. It was interesting to see Danhausen in there. Like, this is a character that we're obviously going to be seeing for a good amount of time here in the next year. Chad Gable beating Penta for the Intercontinental Championship. Any thoughts on that one?
It was a good match, but kind of, yeah, I mean, it's weird because number one, the skull clap didn't really get over, although a few people were doing it at this WrestleMania. But after this match and Chad giving the long speech about, it's like they decided to recreate the El Grande thing.
Oh, they did?
Thing
for sure. Bring the family in the ring. Everything as if, you know, because it's his hometown, they thought, well,
okay,
if you want the Intercontinental title to mean something, because this is your TV main event championship, right? This is the main event title that's on Raw's.
Yeah.
So you're not often getting world title matches on Raw, although we are getting one in September, apparently. But yeah, this is your every once in a while has to main event a Raw. Every once in a while has to main event a Saturday night's main event. So I'm not going to criticize them for making it important.
Okay. No, that's fair. I'm just not seeing the groundswell of support for Chad Gable.
Chad Gable is impossibly less over than he was when he was El Grande.
Yes.
And because they took away a lot of the things that made him likable, right? They took away the thank you. They took away the him being kind of serious, but also not necessarily goofy, but not taking himself so seriously, not coming out here like I'm Chad Gable and I'm an Olympic, you know, wrestler and I'm all this. Like, they took away some of the stuff that just made Chad Gable likable. He was also working with a lot of likable characters. And now, yeah, he's working with Penta, but what's he going to do after this? And if they go on with it, they go on with Chad Gable just being this great in-ring technician and a guy who's been here for 10 years, giving it his all, and he goes, I think it can get over, but it's not over yet. And they were treating this segment like it has been over, and this was like the culmination. And the culmination for Chad Gable, I don't think has happened yet, because you got to rebuild that road coming from the El Grande match, and they haven't rebuilt that road yet.
Yeah, that, and stop reminding me of the crappy gimmicks that they gave him. Like,
yeah,
Shorty
I hope
G.
That's the last time, honestly, because really, I mean, we don't have to go into the past anymore. If you keep bringing up the past, we're going to think of you as that character, and you're not that guy anymore. You got the new music, which, you know, has to grow on you a little bit, because right now it hasn't, obviously, but there's a lot of, like, Seth Rollins-esque CM Punk music. There's a lot of different spots in the music of Chad Gable where the crowd could get into it eventually. They just kind of got to be used to it. So we'll see what happens there. You know, Roman Reigns won the world title. That was another 30-plus minute match. And then, Jeff, you called it. the five-way ladder match for the interim title, which now it might actually be the actual women's title for a while, because breaking news, Rhea Ripley is out, just had surgery on her knee, probably going to be out for 9 months to a year, possibly, maybe a little bit sooner, but it could be 9 months to a year. Your new women's champion on the SmackDown side, Chelsea Green.
Yeah, good for her. I still think she loses it tonight, possibly.
Okay.
The other thing was Rhea coming out with that tweet made me go, oh, she's coming back on Friday. No, I don't think so, but that's a total WWE thing to do. It's like, oh, I'm going to be out for a while. Hey, good thoughts for everybody. And then the music hits and everybody just goes, oh my God, I can't believe that would happen.
It is interesting timing that they, you know, if you come out with this before the company can announce it, like that's yes. Usually a telltale sign.
Yes, exactly. That's why my antenna went up. I went, oh my God, she's already better and she's coming back.
And she didn't say when she had the surgery. She just said she had surgery. Right. The surgery could have been a month or two ago. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe. You're very untrusting.
Yes, I am. I'm skeptical of everything in
very
wrestling.
Skeptical, untrusting individual.
But if she doesn't, I half expect Nia Jax to come out and win this title from her tonight.
Well, that's the thing, right? You could do a whole reset. If Rhea Ripley really is out for the year, you don't have to put in a person right now who has any type of program with Rhea Ripley. You can go an entire different direction. It's almost a license to go an entire different direction. You don't have to put the title on Jade Cargill right now. You don't have to put the title on Charlotte right now. You can put it on whoever you want to. Keep it on Chelsea Green for a bit. Let her become this champion, you know?
Do you think they could make her become legitimate, though, as opposed to the scared champion who just lucks her way out of...
I do. Oh, yeah. Okay. And maybe the first couple of matches are that. Maybe this is a storyline of building confidence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, kind of like the Maxine, except you're already the champion.
And
okay. You start winning a couple of matches.
Yeah.
Say that again.
And she's more talented than Maxine.
Well, yes. Obviously, a little bit more in the ring talented. Although Maxine doing what she's doing right now is like her perfect spot.
Oh, it is. It really is.
Yeah. It's funny with the Vision because you took Paul Heyman away. Now Brock Lesnar's gone. Is Paul Heyman taking a break? Is Paul Heyman going to have a new charge at some point? I don't think he goes back to the Vision. What is next for Paul Heyman?
Oba Femi.
I don't like that at all.
I don't either, but I thought that's what they were setting up there with the whole Braun thing too.
Yeah. I just don't like them because they already, you know, Michael Cole, the ending of SummerSlam night one was your next big thing. Oba Femi. He beats Brock. I'm not trying to make him the new Brock Lesnar. He needs to be Oba Femi. There can be some components of the Brock Lesnar package in the Oba Femi package, but you're not trying to make him Brock Lesnar because guess what? Everyone's just going to keep comparing him to Brock Lesnar. Don't give him Paul Heyman. Have Paul Heyman do something. If Paul Heyman wants to get back involved somehow in CM Punk, Paul Heyman wants to get back involved somehow in Seth Rollins. Now, Paul Heyman was, you know, kind of babyface-ish, you know, after the after the Brock Lesnar match and then on Raw, you know, thanking Oba Femi and all this. He was a little bit babyface-ish, so maybe you put him with a babyface, you know, someone who isn't Oba Femi.
Actually, I could see them just turning him again and putting him with Braun, and Braun's no longer in the Vision.
Yeah, I think putting him back with Braun would be a really good way to go. But as we've noted, Braun Breaker is a top five promo in AEW. So just having him having him cut his promos, okay? He's top 10 in WWE, but he's top five in AEW for sure.
Right, yeah. He might be the real world's champion by the end of the week.
I mean, just come out and claim it. Come out and claim it before the main event of a pay-per-view that you're the real world champ. Just because. Come out with a belt that isn't recognized. Come out and say the people in the main event are illegitimate. And just keep arguing that for 4 years. Just keep arguing that. But yeah, that was SummerSlam. Big show. What was anything notable from Raw? Because Raw was kind of the finishing touch of SummerSlam. You had the promos from Chad Gable, the promo from Oba Femi. Your main event, Jacob Fatu trying to get him back on the right track because they lost their six-man tag at SummerSlam. Is Jacob Fatu being retconned here to be back in that main event picture?
Not main event picture, but to be a monster heel, I think. I think that's why they had him kill Keys like that. Yeah. I don't think they get all the way to Money in the Bank with LA Knight. I like LA Knight, and I like the program, but I just don't see the heat being continued as he goes through Jimmy and Jay necessarily, because Jacob would have to kill him at some point. The other thing, I mean, if you wanted to comment on that, I'll give you some time. Okay. Becky Lynch coming out and just, hey, I'm a babyface again, and I'm the man, which is the most... This thing eats people alive when she's a babyface. She comes out and she just kills them on the mic, and then they can never get any heat back from it. I liked Becky as kind of a cocky heel who then would get scared every time she got punched in the face. Now she's going to be the man again, and it looks like she's just going to go through the entire Judgment Day pretty much.
Well, I mean, she comes out and challenges Liv. The only thing that made her a babyface was that she challenged Liv.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's the same Becky Lynch on screen character that we've seen. Like, true. Nothing deferred there.
True, but she never shows ass when she's a heel and the man. When she's a face
babyface,
yeah. When she's a heel, she gets her comeuppance on the mic. When she's a babyface, and now you have her kind of doing a babyface thing with Stephanie Vaquer to be the number one contender, and that's gonna just, and Stephanie, you know, she's promoing in a second language,
right?
She's gonna get eaten alive on the stick, I think.
She very well could. And you know what, if she does, then I mean, sometimes you know, Vince would do this, right? He would put two characters on there and let's see who claws their way out, and let's see who the fans clamor for more. And there seems to be a little bit of that going on here right now, too. The next pay-per-view, Sunday night's main event, which isn't really a pay-per-view, is coming September 6th. We might have to consider this World's Collide event kind of a WWE PLE in a way, you know, not just NXT, not just AAA. It looks like Roman Reigns, some of the breaking news this week was, Roman Reigns is going to defend the WWE championship or the World Heavyweight Championship against a winner of a luchador tournament, a AAA luchador tournament. And then when Raw goes to Mexico, he's going to, defend the title. A lot of people thought that maybe Roman Reigns would be on Worlds Collide in Chicago as it goes up against AEW All Out. Doesn't look like that might necessarily be the case. Still could, because it's happening after this Raw. Maybe still could. But what do you make of Roman Reigns, AAA, and a luchador tournament, which might be run by won by a German?
You gotta love that Ray's coming in for their, I guess, heel champ and going, hey, let me make a deal with you to come down to Triple A. Yeah, well, I mean, that would make sense with El Grande Americano down there. I think if they put him on this Chicago card, it'd be very, very interesting because they're already outdrawing AEW with just the Triple A crew.
Well, yeah.
You're gonna have Punk. You're
the Chicago market, the Chicago market has been hot for decades and decades for lucha wrestling. I mean, crazy hot, some of these shows. Yeah, you could put CM Punk on the card, maybe not wrestling, maybe just performing in some other type of way.
And they're in Chicago proper versus, I believe, the, whatever Heights it is.
Well, no, it's Rosemont. It's at the, Rosemont Horizon. Okay. The Allstate Arena. Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be, yeah. Cause All Out is, well, All Out's at the Now Arena, so they're not doing the United Center for this one.
Right.
So they're in Hoffman Estates. WWE is going to be in Rosemont. And, yeah, September 26th, the big day for professional wrestling in Chicago. Roman, but do you believe that the winner of the Luchador tournament will be El Grande Americano? Because I'm struggling to think of any other names that could be outside of maybe a Penta.
Has to be. They're as big as Babyface right now. Other than, I mean, unless you're going to put Dominic in that position, and that would seem kind of lame.
Crowd reaction in Arena Mexico could be pretty hot for a for a Roman Reigns. Is that where I got to see where the show's actually happening. It's September, I believe, 14th. September 14th.
Well, while you do that, let me state something. I just wish WWE would stop this pussyfooting around and just put their main roster up against an AEW pay-per-view, because that's what they want to do, and they're just jerking around going, oh, well, maybe our second stringers can beat them. Ha, 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 ha.
But the thing is, they don't have to, and they know it. That's why they're doing it, because they don't have to. We are going to beat you with our undercard shows. We are going to – now, we might put a big name on that show.
That's more of a flag plant. Yeah, you're right.
But I'm not – I don't need to. I don't need to make it seem like a big war, bigger than it already is. Right now, I'm doing this to be a nuisance to you and to pester you and to show that we can. Mm-hmm. If I was worried about, oh, we really have to battle, like, yeah, I could bring a Money in the Bank pay-per-view to Chicago the same night, put Roman Reigns on the card, put Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, all these guys, and yeah, you would do great numbers. But there's only so many people you can put in an arena. It's capped at the size, right? Yeah. We're not going to try to run Wrigley Field or Soldier Field or anything like that in Chicago against an AEW show. I'm showing you that we can run a show in that market, be a little bit of a pest, not have any qualms about it, and still make the money that we need to make. Because guess what? You're not bringing people away from us. We're the ones bringing people away from you.
Mm-hmm.
We're not losing a single person out of this deal. And we're still going to sell out. Arena CDMX, which I believe is Arena Mexico, unless they have one Arena Mexico and one Arena CDMX. But I believe it's an Arena Mexico.
Well, I would think that they'd have two different venues, because I would think there'd be like a promotional thing about Triple
H. Well, I'm going to try to find this out. This is a segment we like to call Rob Googles. Arena CDMX and Arena Mexico are two completely different venues.
Yes.
Different parts
of
the city.
That makes
sense. Okay, so they're in Arena CDMX for that Raw, which is still, still probably big. I don't know all the arenas in Davenport, Iowa. I'm not going to know all the arenas in Mexico City, Ciudad de Mexico, Mexico. I'm not going to know them all. I don't know all the, what's the name of the arena in Los Angeles nowadays? It's not Staples Center anymore. It's some crypto arena, right?
Right, but they don't even run that. They run the one downtown in Inglewood.
The Intuit Dome.
The Intuit Dome, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know that one. I know that Intuit Dome. Jeff Hawkins, what do you make about Kawhi Leonard being exposed for having more offshore deals to circumvent the salary cap?
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back. Myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.